Good morning, Arizona homeowners. Welcome to Rosie on the House. Why don't y'all come on around back here and let's see what we can do. We're going way outside of the yard today. We're going out into the field. In 2018, our format, our lineup for the Outdoor Living Hour, we'll start with the first Saturday of the month. We're going to talk about what's currently in harvest in Arizona. Julie Murphy from the Arizona Farm Bureau will be joining us and bringing a special guest from around the state. Agriculture has now been upgraded from $17 to a $23 billion industry in Arizona.
We are $23 billion strong and growing, and we're providing...
And growing, get it?
And growing. And providing an array of fruits and vegetables on the plant side of it, and a lot of animal agriculture. So all sorts of good stuff.
Y'all have a nice wheel you've put together. It's split up like a pie.
Right.
This dollar amount for lettuce, this dollar amount for beef, this dollar amount dairy, this dollar amount cotton.
It's 16 of our top ag commodities, and beef and dairy are always on the top tier. But if you combine all our fruits and vegetables and citrus, they're right up there too, especially. But we break it out like that just so that people can see the diversity of our Arizona agriculture. People are amazed when they see it.
And in harvest today for January,
we are covering citrus.
Perfect. Not something you think cold weather in most other parts of the world.
Exactly.
During the winter season, this isn't common. But in Arizona, citrus, one of Arizona's five C's from back in statehood day when it was one of the top five industries.
Correct. And the Justice brothers, Dwayne Justice, will be talking to today. He's got a great history about the citrus that their family's been growing since the 1920s. And so it'll be fun to hear from him. But we actually, with our lemons... We're right behind California in terms of not so much their level of production, but really providing it not only in state, but also we export a lot of our lemons to, for example, Japan. So we still have a pretty thriving citrus industry, especially in the Yuma area. And then, of course, the Justice Brothers can talk about all their local things they're doing and their organic citrus and all sorts of fun stuff.
Well, before we get to y'all's orchard, back up. When does citrus first come into Arizona? I mean, we've got agriculture dating back 4,000 years on the Santa Cruz River, but when does citrus make its way into the desert climate?
What do you think, Dwayne?
Well, they were growing citrus here in the early 1900s. I don't know if they had any in the late 1800s or not, but citrus was being produced here in the early 1900s and has been produced continually since then. A lot of Phoenix at one time was full of groves. Some of the earliest citrus that we planted was produced by a guy named Wasser. Had a big citrus nursery, and we bought a lot of trees from him that we planted back in the early 30s and on up. I didn't personally plant them then. But
your grandfather did.
Yeah, my grandfather and my dad and my uncle. So we have continually been in that business. Ever since then, we've also grown other things too. But the citrus that we're talking about today has been in our family for, 80 years or so.
And that's when we look at the statehood and when y'all started in citrus in Arizona. I mean, y'all were pretty close to that same timeline.
Yes, it was. It was before statehood that citrus had gotten taken a hold here, because in the early days of taunting the agricultural production in Arizona, citrus was one of the mainstays of our agronomic productions here. And so it has continued to be that. Unfortunately, from my point of view, the houses have replaced a lot of the citrus. I get that question quite frequently. It's just really a shame that, that grove's gone or this grove's gone. And I always ask people, how long you been here? Oh, 2 years or 3 years. Where do you live? And I'll say, oh, yeah, that was the Garcia Ranch, or that was the Compton Farm, or that was Percy's Place. So, people hate to see the production of agriculture leave the valley, but they want to live here. And reality is you can't grow productive agriculture in just in backyards. So that's why there's not as much as there was. But we don't have any intention to go anywhere, and we like what we're doing, and so we'll continue to do it.
And I like to tell everybody when I talk about the Justice Brothers, Dwayne, and then his son Selwyn, that they're covering two of the five C's because they also have cattle. So citrus cattle, and actually, you maybe could claim climate, because without our good Arizona climate,
you wouldn't have the cattle or the citrus.
Right. So.
Well, in reality, for many years, we also grew cotton. So we covered three of the C's for probably 30, 40 years, maybe 50.
Now that's Justice. He's taking care of the five C's of Arizona.
We'll do the best we can. We don't have any copper mines, though.
Now, what types of citrus? I did a little research. There's over 50. You know, when you look at the scientific names and you got the families and, you know, all the different classifications, citrus breaks down into 51 different varieties. And then from there, there's a countless number of grafted. You know, you've got how many varieties of oranges, how many varieties of grapefruit, how many varieties of lemon. I mean, it's
a pretty endless list. At our U-Pick out on Perryville and Greenway, we have 95 different varieties. That was originally established as the University of Arizona experimental station to see what different types of varieties will produce well in this particular area. And a lot of the things, as I think most people realize, all citrus is grafted. You pick a rootstock and you match it with the fruit stock, and then you see how it does. And some varieties do better with different kinds of rootstocks. Way back, the rough lemon and the sour orange was the standard. Now, since then, there's many, many citroens, a real common one nowadays, both in Arizona and California. And there are new varieties that keep coming in. So, yes, citrus is very old, and there's a lot of different varieties. And then there are sub-varieties from those varieties. Like the navel was developed from the Arizona sweet, and the Arizona sweet's primarily a juice. The navel is primarily an eating orange, although the juice is very good too. But all those differences have developed over the years, and the influence from Spain, a lot of production in Spain, a lot of production has come out of Asia, the Tangelos and those kinds of fruits. There's a lot of Asian influence in.
When I went there last week to pick, and I love grapefruit, so that's my citrus of choice in the morning during the winter. And just in the grapefruits alone at the U-Pick at the Justice Brothers Ranch are 30 varieties of grapefruit. So at one point you say, I'm a bit overwhelmed, but then you just start picking and all's fun. And $40 later... Because that's how much grapefruit I picked. I took it home, and I've been eating it every day.
Now, how long? Well, we'll get to that in a minute. Backing up to the varieties and the grafting, you had mentioned a name. I believe it started with a W that you guys used to get a lot of the
Wasser Citrus Nursery.
Wasser. Where are the graftings coming from now?
There was quite a bit in Yuma. But most of it comes out of California, that sort of thing. And as we talked earlier with the HLB disease problem, that shut down a lot of nurseries. Florida is 100% infected with that disease. And so in Arizona, we had some indication of some contamination in some trees. And so if there was a nursery in that area, then they could no longer ship. So that was a very difficult time. So they've got to be produced in an area that doesn't have the commonly called greening disease. So most of that comes out of California now.
And how long can you expect a citrus tree that doesn't end up with, you know, a disease, or, you know, gets backed over by the backhoe while you're doing a new water line to get to the crops?
You've been at my place. That's happened. Actually, I was just looking at a tree the other day that happened to, and It looked like it was shot, but the employee of mine that did it tried to salvage it and set it back up, and 3 years later, it's doing quite well. So, but, well, we have a, I probably have a couple, two or three of the old white grapefruit, Marsh's white grapefruit, which is one of the early commercial varieties. They had several large seeds in them, and later, same gentleman went and created the Marsh red grapefruit, which is the common red grapefruit we have today, although some people call it pink. It's not truly the pink. The pink was akin to the white, had the seeds and all. But I have a, I think there's one or two trees left there that are probably somewhere in the 70 to 75 years old. And the grapefruit tree tends to live the longest. They're a hardier. The lemons tend to go away earlier. And then it's odd. I have a strip in one of the groves where there's two rows completely and most of a third row. All came out of the same nursery, all planted about the same time. Those rows died off years ago. They were probably only maybe 30 years old. And the rest of the grove is still productive and doing fine. So something in that process, that particular block that we got, didn't go well. But they'll, the citrus trees will live along that. Now, my son will tell you that there's a tree in California, I believe it's 126 years old, a citrus tree.
And we'll bring him on the line. He's at the
American Farm Bureau annual meeting in Nashville, Tennessee.
In Nashville. And we've got him on the line. We'll bring him into the into the conversation right after this segment, along with Bill and Buckeye wants to talk about a lemon tree he's having troubles with, and an open line for you at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. You can also text questions to 411-923, or if you want to send a picture wanting to help help identifying what type of citrus, or maybe it's a bug on your citrus trees, you can email that to info@rosieonthehouse.com.